the Anglican Church is deeply divided in Canada on the issue of whether or not its priests should be allowed to bless the partnerships of same-sex couples. There were two votes yesterday, one of them which said that blessings are not incompatible with the core doctrine of the church, the other vote saying priests should still not be allowed to do them. In just a moment on CFRA, we're going to talk to Reverend George Sinclair, the Ottawa priest who chairs Anglican Essentials Canada. He's going to join us in a minute on CFRA. Good morning. Mark Sutcliffe in for Steve Madeley this morning. Steve is on holidays for a couple of weeks. The Anglican Church of Canada voted over the weekend to say that while same-sex unions and the blessing of same-sex unions don't conflict with church doctrine, priests should not be allowed to carry them out, should not be allowed to bless same-sex unions. We're joined this morning by Reverend George Sinclair, who is the rector of St. Albans Anglican Church here in Ottawa and the co-chair of Anglican Essentials Canada. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are we to make of this split decision, these two decisions that seem to conflict with each other over the weekend?
Well, first of all, the majority of the clergy and the laity voted the same way overwhelmingly in both cases. And the second thing about not allowing the actual blessings to take place in terms of ceremonies, that was just defeated by the narrowest of margins. From our point of view, I mean, it's a confusing conclusion. It would be hard to sort of know how they would discipline parishes that would go ahead and do with it after doctrinally they've said it's okay. But I think the earlier decision is the most significant one, that doctrinally it's okay.
And, well, we'll get to the second decision in a moment, but first, the first decision was that it doesn't conflict with church doctrine, and that's in spite of the fact that at other times, the church on an international level has ruled that homosexual practice is contrary to scripture.
In fact, the international communion had asked the Anglican Church to do two simple things at this general synod. First, it had asked our General Synod to uphold the teaching of Lambeth, which is basically the biblical teaching of faithfulness in heterosexual marriage or abstinence and singleness, and it had asked the Anglican Church of Canada to not perform any more same-sex blessings. The Anglican Church of Canada, in fact, did not comply with either of them, although I guess it still remains to be seen. It's expected that an exemption will continue to be given to the Diocese of New Westminster to perform same-sex ceremonies, but I believe that vote takes place sometime today. So, in fact, what the Anglican Church of Canada was asked to do, they didn't do, and they, in fact, went the opposite way of, rather than upholding Lambeth 110, which is the official teaching of the Anglican Church, they, in fact, said that same-sex blessings are not incompatible.
It will have to fall in line eventually with the doctrine?
Well, As you know, as a broadcaster, human beings aren't always logical. But logically, it would seem to follow if that's the case, unless it was overturned in some significant way. Once again, the majority of the clergy and the laity voted the same way in both cases. From our point of view, you see what is taught is very, very important. So the earlier decision about doctrine really is sort of a denial of the Bible and the Bible's authority in a Christian's life. But as to what the process that's going to go on now over the next couple of years is anybody's guess.
Can you explain in any way why some bishops would have voted one way on one vote and the other way on the second?
I think the swing vote was two bishops. It would be interesting to try to figure out which of the two bishops it was. There'd probably be, and you'd have to ask them. I find it very puzzling.
And what does it mean practically for people in the Anglican Church in Canada? What guidance does this give them?
Well, that's why the teaching, you see, is the most important thing, the teaching seems to be that it's fine, although I suppose the decision not to go ahead with it with ceremonies at this time is a temporary one. Once again, it's unless there's an overturning of what's gone on in New West, it's an even more puzzling decision, because they're then saying you're not allowed to do ceremonies anywhere in Canada other than the Vancouver area. But we'll have to wait to see what happens today with that that other motion from the Diocese of New Westminster.
So what is that motion exactly?
I believe there was a motion that the Diocese of New Westminster would be exempted and allowed to continue their practices. And I don't know. I haven't been on the Internet this morning. I wasn't, so I don't know if that was dealt with, but I don't think it was.
So it's possible that the church could vote to exempt one jurisdiction in Canada and say that it's okay there to bless same-sex unions, but not anywhere else in Canada.
It is possible. Once again, I haven't been on the Internet this morning to see what's, in fact, been done there.
Some people argue that even if the Anglican Church of Canada wanted to bless same-sex unions, it shouldn't, because that would make it inconsistent with the Church of England. Is that a legitimate argument in this debate?
It's a little bit of a technical argument, sort of with the oddities of Anglican, how Anglicans sort of hold together. I'm just a simple Christian who follows Jesus and wants to obey his teaching. There's an early Christian story that said that the disciples were first called Christians in this place called Antioch, and the heart of what it means to be a Christian is the desire to follow the teachings of Jesus after first trusting him. And so, at the end of the day, what really matters is that, and hence what the Bible teaches and what Christians have always believed and understood about core doctrines and core matters of how to live and how to behave. I think for, biblically faithful Christians, whether you're in Africa or Canada, if for some reason the Church of England was to change its teaching, that would change how we were going to relate to each other as Anglicans, but biblically faithful Anglican Christians would always want to follow Jesus first and foremost.
Does it make any sense that there could be different interpretations of church doctrine and different practices on something as fundamental as same-sex marriage in different parts of the world, or should the whole world be consistent on something as fundamental as this?
The whole Anglican world should be consistent on something as fundamental as this. Because this isn't a relatively minor thing, such as what type of music is sung in a church or some other styles of worship. This is part of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the fundamental things of biblical morality. So there should be a consistency across the communion.
And your view and the view of your group is that it's clear from what the Bible says that same-sex union should not be blessed by the Anglican Church.
Yeah, if your listeners were just as an experiment to read the Bible through once, just superficially, just reading it, you'd notice that any time same-sex sexual knowing is mentioned, that it's always seen as wrong. And then if you were to read it through a second time, the whole Bible, and there's nothing that says that it's right. And then if you read it through a second time, this time looking a little bit more carefully about other types of what it says about other types of sexual knowing or other types of doctrine like creation, you'd see that there's a consistency in the teaching. And then if you read it through a third time, this time looking at the symbolism and other type of deeper messages, you'd see once again that there's this same consistency that, the first thing which is important to God is that a person comes to him through his son Jesus and then learns to follow Jesus as his Lord, and the consistency in the teaching is always the same, of faithfulness in heterosexual marriage or sexual abstinence and singleness. A hard teaching to follow for many, and one that requires patience and grace as we, sort of encourage each other and deal with each other when we make mistakes and have to say that we're sorry and move ahead. But that's the fundamental and very, very clear teaching at every level of reading the Bible.
Does it sometimes seem to you, though, that with where things are going in society and where things are going in the secular world, that same-sex marriage is inevitable, not just in society, but that eventually there will be another vote in the Anglican Church of Canada that will go a different way?
I'm expecting that what will happen in Canada is that many individual dioceses, that first individual churches will dissent from the teaching and go ahead and then not be disciplined, and that many dioceses will go ahead. That's what I'm expecting, that there's going to be a period of some chaos around that, in the Anglican Church of Canada. I think the trend lines would seem to indicate that this is the second consecutive General Synod where there's been a weakening of Christian teaching and a rejection of Anglican teaching. I would say the trend line is that they're eventually going to do it. But at the end of the day, there's no reason why Christians can't be faithful to Christ in whatever the cultural context is. There's no reason why we can't try to obey his teaching and tell people about him. And at the end of the day, I think the teaching is sane teaching and is good teaching, and hence it will have people who end up trying different things and realizing that it doesn't really lead to sanity. Will give the Christian message another look.
Is it fair that the church is being characterized as deeply divided? Is this harmful, this debate, to the church, or is this part of a healthy debate about doctrine and about religious values and the teachings of Christ?
I think there's sort of a failure to make a completely unambiguous decision, and at the end of the day, it's going to hurt the institution. Ironically, I agree with Archbishop Hutchinson. First of all, that since the Anglican Church of Canada did not comply with what's been requested, we still are liable to be facing sanctions with the international Anglican community, regardless, because in fact the General Synod didn't do what was asked of them, right? On the other hand, it's bad for organizations to have so much uncertainty. And to make it look as if sexuality is the heart of what the Anglican Church is about, it would have been wiser to have just made a decision and figure out a way of moving on with some degree of charity and generosity between the different sides.
Reverend Sinclair, thank you for joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Good to have your perspective on this. Reverend George Sinclair, who is the rector of St. Albans Anglican Church here in Ottawa and the co-chair of Anglican Essentials Canada. 821 now at 580 CFRA. Going to give you a check on your fort.